We need faith to live by. Faith to live by. Every activity of life should be done by faith. Paul said, one of the most quoted Old Testament verses in the New Testament, the righteous man shall live by faith. That means everything we do by faith. Well, someone once described faith, or talking about faith, called it that people have a spare tire faith. Spare tire faith. Now, you know what the spare tire is? It's that thing you hope you never have to use. And if you do have to use it, hope that you remember how it works. That's how people's attitude is to faith. It's that thing, well, I just hope I don't have to use my faith. And when you think about faith, especially faith preachers, faith preaching, usually you think two things come to mind related to faith preaching. What is it? Money, yeah, prosperity, and healing, right? So if you see a person, they're really reading a lot about faith and listening to faith messages, automatically you think they're either sick or broke. Who we got there? Who is that? Did he belong to anybody? He was cute. Looked like he might pay attention more than some of you guys, too. Bring him in. So we think about faith is relegated to that area of, oh, you need faith when you need money. Or when you need healing. But you live by faith. Every act in life is done by faith. You get up in the morning by faith. Brush your teeth by faith. Drive your car by faith. Especially in Manila. Everything you do is by faith. Faith is not that occasional thing. Uh-oh, this is the time for my faith now. What have you been doing the rest of the day? Not pleasing God. Everything in life is done by faith. Now, certainly, faith is related to healing and prosperity. But faith is more than that. It's about every area of life. Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. That word walk, it's our English word, but it's translated from the Greek word peripateo, which means not just walking, but it means your whole manner of life. So it's not just the physical act of walking, but it means the way you live. So we live by faith, not by sight. Living by faith is, that means that God's word becomes the grid by which you process all data. You see, data is coming at you constantly, information, data. And how do you make sense of that data? How do you process it? Well, you've got two choices, either by faith or unbelief. So, for example, 12 spies went out in the promised land together. They all saw the same thing. They all got the same data, but there were two different groups with two different sets of framework. One had a framework of walking by faith and not by sight or the information that comes from the senses. Their framework was God's promises and God's word. They all saw huge, mean, ugly giants, but two of the 12 processed that data through faith. And so they came back, and their testimony was, we should by all means go up and take possession, for God has surely given us the land. Now the other group had the same data, but they walked by sight. They processed the information by sight. So how do you do when information comes your way that your biggest monthly partner has just dropped? What happens? Bam! Do you process that data by faith? Say, thank God my finances are not based on my partners. My finances are based on my giving. That means it's time I got to find somebody else to give more money to. That's how we process it. You see, not, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Who are you looking to meet your needs? Is it your partners? If you do, you won't sleep well at night. You're walking by sight. Walking by faith is, my needs are not met by these partners. My needs are met by giving. And I can keep doing that. And so how do you process data that shows you, are you walking by faith? Are you walking by sight? Every area of life, every aspect, everything you do, are you doing it by faith? No, I just showed up today. Don't come to here without by faith. It's a long day without faith. That's just too much information to process. And always the possibility I might be a second late and get a paper. Come by faith. Get in your car by faith. Show up to every meeting. Walk by faith. Everything you do is by faith. My youngest son, when he was in school, played basketball and played all the way into the university level. But when he was a freshman in high school, 14, 15, just starting off, he wasn't a very good free throw shooter. He was I think his free throw percentage maybe 55%, something like that. Now, that's not terrible for a freshman, especially he was a taller player. So that's not bad, but it's certainly not great. I remember one time we were driving home from a game because I go all the games and I kept stats. I still have stats from his high school basketball games. They're just in permanent record in my computer. So, you know, I have all the stats. And we were going home and I noticed that I pointed out that he'd hit most of his free throws that game. And then I thought, yeah, and last game. And I went back about five or six games. And I realized he'd been shooting incredibly well. I said, what's going on? He said, well, Dad, I got this little plan. See, when I get to the free throw line, I quote this scripture. I can do all things through Christ who makes me strong. And then I just shoot my free throw. So I went back and I figured out since he started doing that, he was shooting 83%. Now, that's a pretty good increase, you see. You do everything by faith. Shoot free throws by faith. Everything you live by faith. Everything we do in life is done by faith. That's why we need faith for everything. Number three, we need faith to do God's work. Now that's what we do, right? We do God's work every day. That's what we're doing. That's our calling, our future. I suppose, for most of you. We do God's work. How do we do it? These men came to Jesus and they asked him, they said, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, believe in the one whom he has sent. How do we do God's work? You got to do it by faith. Everything you do by faith. We need faith to work for God. What's God called us to do? What's our mission? You know, when you look at Scripture, you say, well, honor God, make disciples. No, that's victory. That's not, okay, that's, Victory, God. Okay. Let's go to the actually the Bible. I mean, that's drawn from the Bible, certainly. But the ultimate mandate is go into the world, make the nations disciples. So first step is we make disciples in the nations. But then the ultimate step is we make nations disciples. So what's our job description? Take over the world. Take over the world. Now, I think of this cartoon show that my kids watched when they were growing up, and I don't know if it made it to the Philippines. Nobody knew this television show in the admin group. Maybe somebody here is a little more highly educated. Did anybody ever watch Pinky and the Brain? I heard some Pinky. You got Pinky, okay? Joseph? Anybody else? How many know Pinky and the Brain? Animaniacs. Yeah. Pinky and the Brain. So Pinky, there are two mouses. And one mouse is really smart. He's called the Brain. And one mouse is really dumb. He's called Pinky. And every episode starts the same way. Is Pinky asks the Brain, Brain, what do you want to do today? And the Brain says, the same thing we do every day. Try to take over the world. Now, I think if in the morning when you wake up, in your devotional time, say, Lord, what do you want to do today, Jesus? You'd probably hear him say, the same thing we do every day. Try to take over the world. That's our job description. World conquest. Now, that's not just difficult, that's impossible. Right? How do we do that? Only by faith. We do God's work by faith. And we need his power. His power comes by faith. But how much power is available to us by faith? I'm so glad you asked me that question. Notice this passage. In Romans chapter 1, look at all the different ways different translations talk about it. His incomparably great power for us who believe. The exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. The surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. The incredible greatness of his power for us who believe in him. The immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe. Or the unlimited greatness of his power. But who's that power available to? Those who believe. By faith. Paul says this way in Ephesians chapter 3:20. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or think. Now, sometimes the Apostle Paul, he gets so caught up in his topic that he just makes up words. The first chapter of Ephesians, our English translations help us by breaking it down, but from verse 13 to verse 14, it's just one long sentence. Paul's just caught up with his theme, he can't even stop to put a period. Now, when he gets to chapter 3, and he's trying to help us understand the power of God available to those who believe, he makes up this word. Or what he does is he takes Greek words and he sticks them all together to make one big, long word. Which is how Germans do it. If you know anything about the German language, they just start sticking words together. So if you see German writing, there's these huge words, which is just four or five German words. They just stuck them all together to make up a new word. That's what Paul does. So he starts with his root word. It's a Greek word, parousio. Parousio. And it's the word that is used in the gospel accounts to refer to how much fish and bread was left over. Parousia is the word that means more than enough. How much do you need? Parousia is that much plus way more. So, for example, you need, say you need to buy a car, okay? And maybe it's going to cost 500,000 pesos. Now, if to describe you, if you are Pariseo, that means you've got 1,000,000 pesos for a 500,000 peso car. So you've got Pariseo, more than enough, abundantly, no problem. It's excessive beyond measure, more than enough for whatever you need. Then what Paul does is he sticks a prefix on top of it. It's the word, it's the Greek word is hooper, or English would be hyper pariseo. Now hyper means to go way beyond. So whenever you stick hyper in front of pariseo, it's pariseo already means way more than you need. Hyper is like super abundantly way more than you need. So now you need this, you got this, you have to buy this 500,000 peso car. You don't have 1,000,000 pesos. You've got 10 million pesos. Hyper pariseo. You're set, no problem. But that's not enough. He sticks another prefix on there. It's the Greek prefix ek, ek, ek pariseo. And ek, what it does is it modifies and it intensifies any word. So if you put that word in front of pariseo, and then you stick hyper ek pariseo, now for your 500,000 peso car, you don't just have 1,000,000 pesos or 10 million pesos. You have 1,000,000,000 pesos. 1,000,000,000 pesos. But he's not done. For good measure, he sticks another hyper in front of it. So it's hyper, hyper, ek pariseo. Now, for your 500,000 peso car, you don't just have 1,000,000 pesos. You don't just have 10 million pesos. You don't even have 1,000,000,000 pesos. You have the entire quantity of all the money in the Philippines. Hyper, hyper, ek pariseo. That's available to you under one condition. If you believe. If you believe. You need faith to do God's work because there is a power that's available. And here's the important question. Where is that power at? I need to get that. Where is it? I got to find it. Paul says, according to the power that's at work in us. Where's the power? It's right here. You don't have to go looking for it. I got to get access to that kind of power. That kind of power, when you walked in that door, you brought that power in here with you. Hyper, hyper, ek pariseia. Smith Wigglesworth, you know, have you heard of Smith Wigglesworth? One of the great faith preachers of the 20th century. Smith is probably best known for having raised 23 people from the dead throughout his life and ministry, which looks really good on your partner newsletter. I'm telling you. Really good. Really good. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. That's hyper, hyper, ek pariseia. It's available to those who believe. We need faith to do God's work. Tap into that power and do it not in our own strength, but by the power of God. We need faith, number four, to experience God's righteousness. Experience God's righteousness. This righteousness, Paul said, from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Righteousness is the judicial act of God by which he pardons the sins of all those who believe in Christ and accounts them as righteous in the eyes of the law. The law is not set aside, but fulfilled in the most complete sense. This is the act of a judge and not a sovereign. A sovereign can set aside the law, but a judge cannot. You've been made righteous. How do we access that? It's by faith. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. And I consider them but rubbish. Thank you, English translators, for protecting our sensibilities. The word is dog doo-doo. That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. How do we experience God's righteousness? It's by faith. And it's a continual battle. Because we are wired to look at performance. That's the default mode of the human heart. And so we feel righteous when we've performed well. We feel righteous when we've walked with God. But can you, at your lowest moment, maybe when you've made the worst mistake of your life, or failed, or sinned, hurt someone, done something wrong, and in that moment say, but I am completely and totally accepted and righteous before God. And I come into His presence without the slightest bit of shame or sense of unworthiness. You can only do that by faith. And we need faith to experience this righteousness because we're so caught up in works. So let me give you an example. We'll use Tony. Tony, you're my guinea pig here. Tony, it's his day off. So what day did he take off, Tony? Okay, it's Monday morning. Monday morning, Tony, the alarm clock rings about 10:30 in the morning. Reaches over, hits that snooze button. Sleeps another 15 minutes. It rings again. Hits the snooze button again. And again. And again. Finally about 1:30 in the afternoon. Wanders out of bed to the couch. And begins, he's going to watch an all-day movie marathon. So puts the first DVD in. Only takes long enough to heat up that pizza that he'd ordered just for this occasion. So stays on the couch all day, eating his pizza, regularly refurbishing it with other delicacies that he stored up for just such an occasion. And all through the day, finally, it's dinner time, so he's got another pizza for dinner, and then for the continuation of the all-day movie marathon, never leaving the couch. Finally, about midnight, after a full day of pizza and movies, Tony goes to bed. All right, now, Jeff, the same day. It's the same Monday. The alarm clock rings for Jeff, 4 o'clock in the morning. He jumps out of bed, begins seeking God in prayer, interceding for all of his friends, ministers, especially Tony, praying for missions, the nation, 4 hours of prayer and intercession. 8 o'clock in the morning now, and he breaks open God's Word, begins studying the Bible, and he's just consumed with God's Word for about another 4 more hours. It's noon now, and you would think it's time to eat, but no, Jeff is fasting. And so instead of eating, he goes to the mall, and he spends the day at the mall talking to people, engaging students, sharing the gospel with them, leading people to Christ. The mall finally closes, but Jeff has led 4 people to Christ, and so he's arranged to baptize them that night. And so they meet. Baptism baptizes them, prophesies, words of knowledge, tongues and interpretation. Finally, about midnight, he's finished, gets home, and hits the bed about the same time that Tony's going to bed. Now we have to ask ourselves the all-important question. Who pleased God that day? Who pleased God that day? Do you know what the answer is? What? We don't know. We don't know. Because we don't know who lived by faith that day. Do you know it's possible to have a day like Tony had and do it by faith? As a matter of fact, if you have a day like Tony's, you better do it by faith. And it's also possible to have a day like Jeff's and do it out of a works mentality to somehow get somewhere, gain some reputation, somehow to not experience God's righteousness. Because it's not based on the kind of day you had, what you did, how you lived. It's based on what Jesus Christ did and faith in that completed work. We need faith to experience God's righteousness. Paul said in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every Christian has peace with God, but not every Christian has the peace of God. Legally, you have peace with God, but are you experiencing the peace of God? The peace of God that comes from knowing I'm totally righteous, totally accepted by Him, whether I did well or I did poorly. Man, you know how you're doing with this after you preached. And you know, and we all know it when we're finished. Matter of fact, you know it even before you're finished. You know, I ain't got it today. You know, because you're bored and you're the speaker and you're thinking, I can't wait to get this over with. You know, I mean, you know. How do you feel the hours after that or the next day? That will determine. If you know, I did the best I could at this time in my life, in the situation I'm in, and I didn't do real good, but it doesn't change one thing about my status, about who I am, about my position with God. Lord, I gave you, I tried to glorify you, tried to represent you as best as I could, and I'll leave the results with you. I have peace with you. Peace. I'll try to do better next time. And I hope we don't have too many like that in a row. But my status is secure because of faith in what Christ has done for me. We need faith to experience the righteousness of God. We need faith, number five. How's everybody doing? Got a little quiet on that last one. We need faith to give glory to God. Faith to give glory to God. So here at Victory, we honor God and make disciples, right? We better do it by faith. We need faith to honor God. We need faith to give Him glory. Great passage here talking about Abraham. Paul said, yet he, Abraham, did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. Giving glory to God, that doesn't mean adding to God's glory. Like, he had a certain amount of glory, but I gave him. Now he's got more. We don't add to His glory. It doesn't mean improving on His gloriousness. It means calling attention to His glory, showing it to be what it really is. Giving glory to God is making Him look good. It's making Him look good. Now, the town that I was raised in the States, when I was young, there was a swimming pool we'd go to. It was a small town. And I remember a time I couldn't swim at this point. And so you kind of want to get in the water, but you're a little afraid to. And you get in the real shallow part, but you'd like to get out in that deeper water. And I remember one time my dad was out there, and he said, "Come on, jump, I'll catch you." Okay, now when you're faced with a situation like that, you have several choices, several thoughts that go through your mind. And what really gives glory or honor to your father is without a moment's hesitation, you just jump. The longer you delay, the more question you place in other people's minds about what kind of dad is he? So you got possibilities. Number one, maybe he's not strong enough to catch me. Maybe he doesn't have enough power if I jump. Or maybe he's not trustworthy. He can, but at the last minute, he's going to jump back and have a little laugh. Or maybe I don't like that plan. It's not a good plan. I don't think you're smart enough. But when we jump right away, okay, Dad, it shows total implicit trust in God. And so when we live by faith and we just step out, you mean you did what? Yeah, I just did it. What? Yeah. You didn't think, no, how could I think that about God? But what happened? How could He let me down? I gave glory to Him by living by faith. You see, sometimes in the night, I don't know if this happens to you in the night, but in the nighttime, I might wake up. You know, I wake up in the night. First of all, I'm old, okay? Old people, especially men, get ready for this, just telling you about your future. We wake up at night a lot, okay? Maybe if I stop drinking any liquid after noon, I might be able to sleep through the night. But it's just the reality of growing old, okay, guys? Just get ready. It's coming. So I wake up at night and then go back to bed. And I could always tell by how many times I got up that night. So I was measured. Was that a three-time night or, man, just to make it one time? So you wake up and you go back to bed. And then trying to get back to sleep, that's when I get hit with thoughts. I don't know, does anybody get thoughts in the night? Anxiety, worry? And of course, we are missionaries. We live by support just like all of you do. And I got this daughter that's trying to get married. And in the States, you know, the husband, the father of the bride, he pays, you know. I think I've told you that. And they're expensive in the States. And so you get hit by that thought. And then, you know, how are you going to do that? And I go back to this verse. Lord, it would give You great glory if I just went to sleep right now. That's what would glorify You. And so by faith, I'm going to sleep. By faith. Because in going to sleep, I'm giving You glory. I'm not even going to give that thought a moment to keep me up in the name of Jesus. Now, some nights I'm more successful than others, okay? But that's my battle plan. I want to give glory to You by just going to sleep. See, that's why the disciples were upset, because Jesus was sleeping in the storm. But you know, you just sleep in a storm when you have faith, implicit faith in God. You just sleep because you're tired. We need faith to give glory to God. We got time for one more. We need faith, number six, for answered prayer. Jesus said, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask in prayer. Have you seen all of the gospel prayers that have no restrictions on them? There's a bundle of them. I have them all in a file. It's part of my morning devotion. So look at all those promises. Hit that button. Look at that file. Look at those verses on prayer. Whatever you ask, no qualifications on it. All things, Mark 11, 24, for which you pray and ask, believe you have received them, and they shall be granted to you. Whatever, all things, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you ask, all, whatever. These are great promises, but they're predicated on faith. Those who believe. And we see Mark 11, the requirement is all things for which you pray and ask. Believe that you, what is that? Have received them. Not will receive them. Have received them. And then they shall be granted to you. When do you get them? When do you get them? When you believe. But when you believe you already have them. That's faith. Have you heard of the great man of God named George Mueller? Anybody heard of George Mueller? He was a German man, but lived in England. And he started orphanages. And he did it completely by faith. And he believed God that he wouldn't even have to make his needs known. And so for his whole life, all the needs, and I think at one time he was responsible for 10,000 orphans in different orphanages that were being fed and cared for. And he did it without making an appeal, without going to partners, just by believing God. Okay? Now, God gave him a unique faith. That's not how we raise our partnership team, okay? Mostly people who do that, we call them broke. But this is the way God led him, okay? And so, great man of prayer and faith. And there's a situation, he was coming across the ocean on an ocean liner, had to be in Quebec in Canada to preach. And a huge fog came up. And so he went to the captain. He said, I have never missed an engagement in 57 years. He said, let's go to the chart room and let's pray. And so the captain said, Mr. Mueller, do you know how dense the fog is? And Mueller said, no, but my eye is not on the fog. It is on God who controls every circumstance of my life. And so they went and they started, and so Mueller prayed. And then the captain, he started to pray, but Mueller stopped him. And he said, Captain, since you do not believe, there is no need for you to pray. Ouch. He said, get up, Captain, open the door, and you'll find that the fog has lifted. And it had, and he made it to his engagement. These kind of things happen regularly. Reading an excerpt from his diary, he kept a prayer diary. He said, in November 1844, I began to pray for the conversion of 5 individuals. So I had a prayer list. I prayed every day without a single intermission, whether sickness or in health, when I was on land or sea, whatever the pressure of my engagements might be. 18 months elapsed before the first of the 5 was converted. I thanked God and prayed on for the others. 5 years elapsed, and then the second was converted. I thanked God for the second and prayed on for the other 3. Day by day, I continued to pray for them, and 6 years passed before the 3rd was converted. I thanked God for the 3 and went on praying for the other 2. 36 years later, in his diary, there's an account, He says, I hope in God, I pray on and look for the answer. They are not converted yet, but they will be. In 1897, 52 years after he'd begun to pray, Mueller died. These two men were unconverted. And they came to his funeral. And as his casket was being lowered into the grave, both these men had an awareness of eternity, that it would not be long before they would be following him. And they were not right with God. And at his funeral, they were converted and born again after 52 years of praying by faith. Let's take a break. We'll be back at 10:45.